That's a great song, Fred, and great message. I think we all can say that, right? Why me? Why did you save me, Lord? I hated you. I hated you, and you saved me. And so that is a question we all can ask. And a strange way to save the world, but the greatest salvation that there is, that we can even imagine, is Jesus dying and rising again on the cross. And there's no salvation that comes close to the magnitude and how infinite and glorious that salvation is. No salvation, no movie, nothing that we see or can imagine comes anywhere close to that salvation. And so we worship the Lord, thank Him for His great love. And we want to proclaim that. We want to proclaim that to those here in Anza and to our families and those in our lives, our neighbors. And right now we get to hear from our brother who has been called to go to the other side of the Pacific, right on the other side of the Pacific from us, to Taiwan. And Jim and Becky, Graham, have lived in Taiwan for 16 years and has had quite a story. We were blessed to hear his story, and I'll just share just a little bit with you just to introduce the Taiwan to you. But Taiwan is an island off the coast of China, and if you were to drive across Taiwan, it would take you 4 to 5 hours, so it's not that big of an island. But there's a population of 22 million on that, 23 million on that island. And right now, 2% of those 23 million are Christians, are believers. And so Jim and the brothers and sisters that are working there in Taiwan have quite a job cut out for them. And it's becoming more and more dangerous for them. But Jim and Becky will be going back to Taiwan, hopefully for 4 years, in February. They'll be headed back. But remember in prayer, Mike already mentioned that, remember there are two sons in prayer, Mark, who is in the military. He's a captain in the army and works with intelligence, and he's stationed in Hawaii. So pray for Mark and his family. And then their other son, Nathan, who is now a teacher at CBU, and considering what he's going to be doing next as far as getting a PhD or where the Lord's leading him. But pray for Mark too, and also pray for their parents. Becky's parents have been having some health issues, and while they were in Taiwan this last year, Becky had to fly back 5 different times to come and see her parents and help take care of her parents. So that makes it hard for them to leave in February to go back for another 4 year time in Taiwan. So keep their family in prayer, and keep Jim in prayer as he comes and preaches to us this morning. Jim and Becky, thank you so much for coming and being with us this morning. And Jim, you can go ahead and come on up and share the Word of God with us. Thank you.
So Becky and I serve with the International Mission Board. That's what IMB stands for on our shirts. This is our corporate swag. This morning, we're going to take a look at a psalm. We're going to talk about what missions looks like. And we're going to be thinking the far right. One more over. There you go. We're going to be looking at Psalm 67 and thinking about Let the Nations Be Glad. That's a famous book written by John Piper. And I taught Intro to Missions in Taiwan this year, and I made my students read it in Mandarin, not in English. If you have a Bible, and I hope you do, please take it out. I'm one of these modern guys. I use my iPad now. So whether you have your Bible on your phone, your iPad, or you have a good old handheld leather pages Bible, let's turn to Psalm 67. And I'm going to read it. And while I read it, would you stand in honor of God's word? Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us. That Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that this morning You would bless the reading of the Word, the proclaiming of the Word, the hearing of the Word, and the applying of the Word. To Your glory, to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. This morning, I just want to start by encouraging you. The pink announcement this morning, that hits home to me. For 5 years, I was in prison ministry. Gotcha. A lot of the work that we saw God do in the lives of the inmates I worked with came because people volunteered, came to the prisons, wrote letters, and cared for people. In the 5 years, we had over 60 inmates come to faith, 8 prison guards, which is even a bigger miracle, because a lot of times the only difference between the guards and the inmates are the keys. But please, church, do that. This morning, Fred, thank you. In church, thank you. What great congregational singing. Wow, my heart was moved. You know, it's not often that we hear people singing as well as you. Thank you. Well, I'm Jim. I'm with the International Mission Board, IMB. I'm a real-life missionary, or at least I think I am. I didn't read my name in the obituaries this morning, so I assume I'm still alive. But I'm a pretty normal guy. I'm nothing special. But this morning I want us to think about let the nations be glad. And this morning I learned that you guys have a university in ANZA that has international students. Wow, what an opportunity. How many of you men have served in the military? Would you guys stand up for a sec, please?
And there's a lady.
And a lady?
Yes.
Anybody who served in the military, stand on up. I want to thank you all. Go ahead, be seated. I'm going to tell you a story. About 8 years ago, I was going to a meeting in another city in the central part of Taiwan. I hopped in a cab, and the cab driver, I'm talking to the cab driver in Mandarin, and he goes, "You're a missionary." How'd you know? Is it my amazing good looks? Do I look godly? He said, "No, you're just talking to me in my language. The only people who do that are missionaries." And so he said, "What kind of missionary are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm Baptist." And he said, "Well, I don't want to talk to you." Okay, I won't talk to you if you're going to be that way. And then he goes, "Well, what kind of Baptist are you? Are you like Miao Li Baptist Church?" Miao Li used to be a U.S. Air Force base. They used to have an Air Force base there. And they would fly sorties into Vietnam from there. And he goes, "You're like that little Baptist church right beside the airbase." I said, "I'm their people." And he said, "You know, when I was a little boy, men from that airbase would come over to that little church once a week. And they would prepare a meal for us." He said, "My dad was so poor, he couldn't afford to buy meat. But those men would come over once a week. And it wasn't bad meat. It wasn't just plain chicken. It was some of the best beef or pork we've ever seen. They'd cook us a meal, and then they would do a program with us." He said, "If you were like those men, please go ahead and tell me what you believe. And so I shared the gospel. I shared my testimony, my story, and then I shared the gospel with him. And I said, would you perhaps be interested in joining me in this faith journey? And he said, no. I'm Taiwan Ren. I'm Taiwanese. I have my faith and you have yours. So do you have any family or friends who are Christians? And he said, well, actually, one of my friends from junior high, he's in his 60s. One of my friends in junior high just became a hallelujah Christian. That's Mandarin for charismatic. And he said, but he's a changed man. I said, well, maybe you should talk to him about this decision he made sometime. He pulls out his cell phone while we're driving through traffic. And if you were in Sunday school, you saw the scooter thingy. And if you haven't talked, if you didn't see it, talk to those who did. And so he's calling his friend on his cell phone while we're driving through scooters like that, which is a scary experience. And he calls his friend answers, and his friend, and he goes, I got this crazy white guy in my cab. And this is what he told me. Do you believe that? And he goes, yes. He said this, do you believe this? Yes. He said this, do you believe this? And his friend said, that white guy's not crazy. And I said, you don't know me. Maybe I am. But he started to cry. The cab driver, not the guy on the phone, the cab driver started to cry. And he started to cry so hard, I asked him to stop. And his friend on the phone and me in the back seat, he came to faith that day. But remember how the story started, gentlemen and lady. It was because of people like you who, when they went off duty, went into a little community, probably stole meat from the kitchen, cooked a meal, and did a program. I'm joking about the stealing part, okay? But thank you. We've had multiple opportunities in Taiwan because of the things like that that you did. Thank you. Amen. That's one way that we see the glory of God come among us, that we behave like people don't expect us to. You know, we hear all kinds of story about how bad the military behaves. But let me just say, that's not always the story. So this morning, let's look at Psalm 67. Take that Bible out. Let's look at it. We're not going to read it and therefore depart from it, but we're going to go through it, that passage this morning. So let's go to the next slide. There we go. This psalm tells us that we have a singular purpose. This psalm lays in front of us that we have a single purpose. As individuals and as a church, our purpose is to glorify God. Amen. Our purpose is to bring glory to His name. Amen. And it's not the easiest thing to do. It's kind of hard, actually. That means that I have to allow God to change my heart. You know, I'm really not the kind of guy that would make a good missionary. Because like, in English, I'm an introvert. If I had my choice, I'd sit in my office, I'd read books all day, I'd think thoughts, and then I'd go home, and then I'd watch TV, and then go to bed, and never talk to anybody all day long. That would be a perfect day for me. My wife's nodding, yes. You know, but at least half of that reading would be about the Bible, okay? Or reading the Bible itself. But you know, folks, the purpose of the gospel is to transform us. It's to make us different people. Amen. The purpose of the gospel is to influence my heart so that I'm a different person. You know, there are so many purposes that we can have. You know, in church, we can get confused. We can say that this is our purpose. We want to be this kind of a church. And we work so hard at being that kind of church. that we forget that we as the church are about glorifying God, about honoring Him in everything we do. And you know, there are churches all around us that have bad reputations. Their reputation in the community is not so good. But should a church choose to write to prisoners, visit prisoners? Should the church choose to visit families? Should the church choose to sacrifice for the world? We'll have a different kind of reputation. We will be different. You know, when the announcements were being made, it made me think back to, I pastored for 4 years. And I wasn't a very good pastor. You know, sometimes missionaries are not the best pastors because they tend to think thoughts that don't help the church a lot. We think about outreach activities, we think about, but I didn't do so good. But one of the deacons at the first year I was at the church walked up to me at the New Year's Eve service, I'm confused. And he handed me a gift. And he said, and I said, what's this? And you know, I'm not, your deacons are probably different, but that church had 25 people, 6 of them were deacons and 2 retired pastors. And I was 30 some years old and didn't have a clue what I was doing. But they sure let me know what I should do, sometimes kindly. But he said, Pastor, my challenge for you is, this is a Bible, and my challenge for you is to read this cover to cover this year. And so, okay, and I'm a retired athlete. I retired at 20. And so put a challenge in front of me, and I'm going to do it, even if it kills me. I was a swimmer. In the last 4 years, I've started swimming again. And recently, just before we came home, an old lady at the swimming pool looked at me, and she said, you're not 20 anymore. What are you doing? I said, thank you for reminding me of that. But I started out strong, and you know, in January I got through the Gospels, and then, you know, February I made it through Genesis and Exodus, and Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Kings, and things slowed down, you know. And so I got to December of the next year, and I had made a commitment to finish reading the Bible through in a year. And so I went from like Ezra to, you know, the Apocrypha, joking, in a week. And I was still in my home office reading, and I'm OCD about being on time. Like, when we were dating, Becky asked me what I thought was romantic, and I said, being on time. And her maiden name is Nugent, and her family has Nugent standard time. It's 15 minutes behind everyone else. And so that went over like a lead balloon. So, but she said, it's time to go. I think she had something to do at the church. She was like running the New Year's Eve thing. And, but I had to finish. So I finished, and I got to church. And the deacon walked up to me, and I said, I finished. I didn't tell him it was 5 minutes before we got there. But I finished. And he handed me another gift. And it was another Bible. And he said, challenge number 2. Read through this one. A different translation this year. So, when the announcement was made about a New Year's Eve service, it reminded me. I may be a normal guy, but God used a New Year's service to change my life. It's now my habit to read through the Bible every year at least twice, and the New Testament a third time. And now I'm doing some of that in Chinese. Well, a few years ago, we shared the gospel with a guard. Most of our buildings have guards. We shared the gospel with a guard, and one of our teammates gave him a Bible, and he was not an educated man. He was a rural man. his people group, he's Hakka Chinese, and the saying among the Hakka is that to be Hakka is to be a dog, which is not a compliment. And so to have us foreigners talking to him and encouraging him was quite the experience for him. His name was Mr. Huang, Mr. Yellow. And I shared with him, the teammate shared with him, gave him a Bible. And about 3 months later, I went back and said, "Have you been reading that Bible?" And he said, "Three times." So in 3 months, he read the... So when I heard him say three times, "Sun Tzu," I thought he was like opened the Bible three times in 3 months. And he so that's not very good. But in 3 months, he had read the Bible cover to cover three times. He's a non-believer. So I said, "Mr. Yellow, do you have any questions?" He opened the Bible, and on every page, there were all kinds of notes. And so I asked him, "Well, what's the most pressing question? What's the most important question you have?" And he said, "How is it possible that the atoning death of Christ on the cross is sufficient to forgive my sins?" He didn't finish elementary school. And some days, just the fact I can understand people, it's a miracle. And so in my simple Chinese, I said the question back. Very, very simply. He said, "That's right." And so I answered the question. And I called the question and said, "Are you prepared today to join us on this life journey?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, you know, in America, 60% of people who come to faith in Christ do it in the privacy of their own bedrooms. Tonight when you go home, I want you to think about this." Of course, in my missionary faith and zeal, I really didn't believe he was going to do that at all. I didn't see him for a while. We actually came back to the U.S. on furlough. I flew back for a meeting, and I saw, and there were some people, and one of them was a seminary professor that I wanted to impress. And so we did some EV training, evangelism training, and this seminary professor from Southern was there, and we sent people out to share the gospel. So I took my friend, the professor, and we went to share with Mr. Yellow. And went through the whole gospel presentation, and I said, "Mr. Yellow, today will you finally believe?" And he said, "No." And so I'm trying to impress my friend. Okay, my motive that day was not pure. My motive, my heart was bad. I wanted to impress my friend. And Mr. Yellow goes, "Not today." I said, and with a little bit of anger in my voice, maybe a lot, I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because the last time you shared with me, you told me to go home and think about it. I went home and I couldn't sleep." And so I work a 12-hour shift. When I get home, I fall into bed and sleep as hard as I can. "Well, thank you for telling me that, Mr. Yellow. Why haven't you told me that before?" He says, "Well, you're just too busy. I didn't want to bother you." That night, I accepted Christ. And I said, "Why didn't you tell me?" "Well, I didn't want to bother you. You were so busy." You know, folks, all of us sometimes just need to slow down. Mm-hmm. The way we glorify God is in relationship with one another and others. And we just can't be too busy for people. So, you know, that wasn't even in my notes. That was free for those of you who tithe today. You know, let's go to the next slide. I'm never going to get through this in time for lunch. I hear I'm going to a good place for lunch. So, why are we blessed? The first part, look at the psalm again. Look at the first verse of the psalm. "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way would be known on earth." Church, are you blessed?
Amen.
Has God blessed you?
Amen.
have brother or sister, has God blessed you? This morning, how has God blessed you personally? Jobs, family. How is an education? How has God blessed the church? A choir. Great song leader. A good pastor. Great friends. A church building that's beautiful and adequate. Church, you've been blessed.
Amen.
What was that?
Amen.
How, God has blessed us greatly.
Amen.
But why has He blessed us? Why has, you know, and one of the challenges that starts to happen to us when we start to enjoy the blessings that God has given us, when we begin to internalize them and we begin to take them as our own, we begin to, those blessings, we begin to develop an attitude of entitlement. That this is mine. This blessing is mine. This church building is mine. You know, when I pastored, we had a bunch of teenage boys in our community who didn't have anywhere to go. We lived in an upper, well, a really wealthy community. And those boys used to love to race those little remote control cars. But what happened was all these wealthy lawyers and business executives would go out and buy their own remote control cars that these kids couldn't afford to buy. And their cars were faster. So these kids got discouraged. So one day in my youthful zeal, I invited them into the church fellowship hall. And they started to race their cars around the fellowship hall. And one day one of the kids lost control of his car. And it rode up the walls of the fellowship hall and left skid marks. And one of the deacons came in. And he said, "What did you do to my wall? Pastor, what did you do to my wall?" And the fellowship hall wasn't even named after him. Our blessings, brothers and sisters, we can't let them build in us an attitude of entitlement. That attitude of entitlement means I'm going to hold that blessing so tight that even my wife won't know I've got it. Even my children won't know. But God blesses us to be a blessing. Next slide. We'll fill in the blank even. Look at that. God's blessed us. God blessed the Jewish people to be a blessing to the nations. But they chose not to. The early church in Jerusalem, God blessed them and they grew rapidly. But they chose not to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So persecution came. And they finally went. And it was in that persecution that the gospel moved forward. But you know, how long did it take the early church to begin to live entitled? Just a few weeks. A few months. Church, I want to encourage you. Don't have that attitude of entitlement. But live out the imperative to be a blessing to the world. Be a blessing to those in prison. Be a blessing to those international students at the college. You know, 90% of all international students never get invited to an American home. Now, I was an international student here. I'm from Canada. One of the things that helped church take in my life, I became a believer in high school. One of the things that helped church take was Dr. Hunt, a dentist from University Baptist Church, Fayetteville, Arkansas, who invited me into his home for U.S. Thanksgiving. That helped church take. You know, those international students, they probably would love to come to your home for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, for Easter. There are students from China, Korea. They'd love to be in your homes. But it might mean we need to do something different. It might mean that we have to set another place, or three, or four. We might even have to borrow some chairs from the church, or a table, which I think would be okay, because we're to be a blessing. This week, our son's next door neighbors, their home burned. And my question continues to be to my son and his roommates and to our church in Riverside, how can we bless that family? They're Hispanic and they've got a big statue of Mary outside their house. How can we as Baptists bless them? How can we be a blessing? We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed not to be inward focused, but to be outward focused. And it's hard to be outward focused. I mean, as we go on in this psalm, as we look at it a little further, in verse 2 it says that your way would be known on earth. Ooh. Are the ways of God known on earth? Are the ways of God known in Anza? We were driving on the road up here today from Temecula. We're driving along and we come to one place coming down a hill, and there's a cantina or a bar, and they were advertising beer, liquor, and soft ice cream. I like soft ice cream, but I'm not going in there with the other stuff. Are the ways of God known in the earth? Are the ways of God known inside the church? God blesses us that His ways would be known. You know, God works in funny ways. And I've got story after story about that. I won't go into it. But God's ways are not known. And He blesses us so we can tell the world the stories of how He blesses us. But that's not for the prosperity gospel, because sometimes the greatest blessings that God gives us are the difficulties we face on earth. You know, my father had a heart attack. God miraculously saved him. Now, my dad's a little on the cranky side. If you have a really good English vocabulary, he's a curmudgeon. And if truth be told, I am my father's son. So I am too. I just blame him. I say it's genetic. But you know, for all of us, the ways of God are unknown. You know, I've been in ministry for over 35 years. And I still marvel at the mysterious ways that God works. Amen. And the song that was sung about the strange gospel that a baby would come in a manger, that's bizarre. It's bizarre that God would take a goof like me from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, who knew one Chinese person growing up, and I was afraid of her because the most famous show on TV at that time was Kung Fu. So I thought this little 5 foot nothing girl could kill me with her little finger. I couldn't even talk to her. Folks, the ways of God often are not even known in church. But if you read the Psalms, how often does the psalmist say, God, teach me your ways? Amen. How often does the psalmist say that? I tried to count one time, but I lost count. And that's with an electronic thesaurus that can count for me. That your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. You know, right now, there are a whole lot of nations and a whole lot of people groups in the world who have no access to the gospel. And right now, most of those people, the reason they have no access to the gospel is not because we white guys have failed to get the gospel to them. We can't get to them. What we need are other people to go. The unengaged, unreached people groups of China, a Caucasian can't get to, but another Chinese could. The unreached, unengaged people groups in Africa, we can't get to, but other Africans and Chinese can get to them. So that's what we want to be about today, is we want to see things work differently. And God is doing some amazing things. You know, the House Church of China is sending thousands of missionaries. The Koreans have sent hundreds of thousands of missionaries. Now, everywhere they go, they offend people. But you know where they stand and you know what the gospel is. Right now, in Cambodia, we have a great opportunity where we have a Korean-American family, a husband and wife. And there are about 100 mainland Chinese missionaries who've been sent to Cambodia. And they've gone there to reach Cambodians and Chinese. And so these networks, and you realize, of course, that there are more evangelical Christians in China than in America. There are networks, house church networks, that have over 12 million members. And for them, membership is a little bit more serious. When they baptize in China, they say to the person being baptized, "Will you follow Jesus when you lose your job for believing?" And before they baptize, they have to say yes. "Will you follow Jesus when your family rejects you?" Yes. "Will you follow Jesus when they take you to prison?" Yes. Then they will baptize you. But if you're not willing to say yes and mean it, they're not going to baptize you. So, last Sunday, there was a church in Kunming, China that was broken up. The pastor, one of the 50 most influential people in all of China, he was a human rights lawyer, and in the process of defending some Christians in a court of law, he came to faith himself. And within a short period of time, he received some training, and he became a pastor himself. And he wrote a letter that if he were arrested and held for 48 hours, they were supposed to release this letter. And in this letter, he says, "God has put the Communist Party in power in China. We're to honor the government. But this government is doing evil. And we cannot condone that evil. And we will not stop meeting." We answer to a higher power.
Amen.
He never questioned the authority of the government to arrest him. But he said, "I am responsible to a higher power."
Amen.
We don't know where he is. We haven't heard in a week. A wonderful, powerful preacher. But there are other places where things are going on in the world that is incredibly difficult. But we are blessed to be a blessing that God's ways would be known on earth.
Amen.
That's why we're blessed. Next one, let's see, what did I write? Among all the nations. You know, one of the things that's happening in our world right now is there's a movement globally for nationalism. It's happening here in America. And you know, that's hurting us in missions. Because the more nationalistic we become, the less interested we become in global missions. But it's happening in the Philippines. It's happening in China. It's happening in the Koreas. It's happening in Russia. It's happening in England. It's happening in France. It's happening in Italy. It's happening in Greece. It's a global movement. But we're blessed to be a blessing so that all nations hear. And that means that we sacrifice. You know, right now in New York City, there are 600 people groups that are still on the unengaged, unreached people groups list. Today in New York City, 160 of those people groups live. But for some reason, we haven't figured out how to be good neighbors yet and introduce the gospel to those people. In the 50s, there was a man from a Southeast Asian country who came to the U.S. to study. He was studying in Philadelphia. And he picked up a weekend job working in a hotel. And he worked in this hotel washing dishes and bussing tables. And every day, people from the Baptist church next door to this hotel would come in. And they taught him, they were just so rude to him. You know, they yelled at him, they mocked him for his accent. And he went home to his home country and he said, I will never allow Christianity into my country. And I'm going to start a revolution in my country. You know what his name was? Ho Chi Minh. Anybody here go to Vietnam? You know, we had a chance to stop that. Today, Turkey is a Muslim country. In the 60s, 13 men were going to university in Boston. All of them were marginal Muslims. But after living in America and going to university here, they went back to Turkey. And they were the cabinet that outlawed Christianity in Turkey. We're to be good neighbors. And today we have to fight. It's good to be nationalistic. But once that nationalism begins to cancel out our heart for the nations, we need to look at the gospel. Every morning the gospel has to speak to my heart. When I look in the mirror when I shave, I have to allow the gospel to speak to me about today. About the state of my heart and my attitudes and my feelings. Every day. And if we don't, the nations won't hear. And you know what happens when we hold on to that blessing? When we don't give that blessing to others? When we develop that attitude of entitlement? That blessing starts to go bad. Yesterday, Becky went into the fridge, got a cup of milk, and she took a sip and said, this has gone bad. Folks, when we hold on to those blessings, when it becomes an attitude of entitlement that this is my blessing and this is for me alone, it begins to go sour. And then that blessing will ruin our lives from the inside out. Where the gospel is supposed to transform us from the inside out, it's going to go bad. And it's going to rot. And we're going to become like a deacon I had. He developed cancer. And I'd moved from the church already. And I was praying one morning and God said, go visit Mr. White. So there was a new pastor in town, new sheriff in town. So I called the sheriff and I said, Sheriff, can I go visit your member? And he said, well, actually, retired sheriff, moved on sheriff. No, you can't. He said he doesn't want to see you. He wants to see everybody but you. Okay. Now, he believed that his spiritual gift in church business meeting was to vote no. I pointed out to him that I didn't see that spiritual gift in Scripture. But he insisted that that's what God had called him to do. And he faithfully carried that out. And so after stewing, and I'm a stewer, I'm an introvert, I worry. And so I was after fretting for a little while, Becky said, since when have you ever listened to Mr. White? Go see him anyways. And so I walked into his hospital room. And his face was misshaped with cancer. And he looked at me, he started to cry. And I go, oh man, I'm making a dying man cry. I've ruined his day. And he looked at me and he goes, what took you so long? Okay, I'm not the brightest cookie in the cookie jar, but you said you didn't want me to come, so I didn't come. I was trying to honor a dying man. And he goes, well, since when have you listened to me? And I go, well, I just want to come and tell you I love you. And he started to cry again. I'm going, oh, no. You know, I said I wasn't a very good pastor, making him cry all the time. I could have blamed it on the morphine, but, you know. But he goes, he said, I realize since I've been sick and in the hospital, the last 40 years, everything I've done is wrong. The way I behaved in business meetings, the way I treated you, the way I treated the other people at church was wrong. And I've called in the other deacons and the retired pastors and said, guys, we're doing wrong. But they wouldn't listen to me. I called in my family and said, I've hurt you. I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Please give Jesus another chance. And he said, Pastor, nobody will listen to me. The way I lived my life canceled any credibility I had. And he said, could you possibly forgive me? And I looked at him and smiled and said, that happened a long time ago, brother. That happened a long time ago. There is nothing between us. We are okay. And then he bawled. He wept. If we hold on to that blessing, if we become selfish with that blessing, it goes bad. It goes very bad. And that's what happened to Mr. White. He held on to that blessing, and it went bad. And it didn't bless his family, it didn't bless the church, and it surely didn't bless the nations. Let's go on. God's ways are not known among the nations. God's ways aren't known among most of our neighbors, let alone the nations. And we look at this text of Scripture, we look at this psalm, and it's a song, it's a hymn that's been put to music and it's sung. And the psalmist's heart is that the nations would know about this God that they're singing about. Just like we sang this morning, the songs of celebration of the birth of a Savior, the nations know nothing of that. But God's heart is to use you to make that happen. And you might say, we're just Anza Baptist Church. We're in the middle of nowhere, which is kind of true. But you know what? You're in God's kingdom.
Amen.
You are kingdom people.
Amen.
Which means you're people of the world. And God can use you to impact the world. And don't you be telling me we're only Anza Baptist Church. Because I'll stand up here and be a really bad person and say, repent. Just put that attitude in the garbage can, take it out. Don't put it in recycling. We don't want it recycled. We want that attitude gone. Okay? You're a kingdom outpost.
Amen.
That God wants to use to transform the world. Let's go on. I've taken way too much time. Well, God may want us to talk about that a little more. We're not going beyond that right now. Hey, there we go. That's a picture of temple worship in Taiwan. That temple has hundreds of gods. And people are giving their hearts to those gods. And that's idolatry. And you know, we can say, how could those people be so silly? How could they worship a rock or a stone? But you know what? Here in North America, our idols may just be a little bit more sophisticated. You know, they might be a 50-inch TV. Might be a Game Boy. Do we still have those? It might be to own my own home. It might be, man, growing up, there is a bank in Canada that advertised Freedom 55. So if you invest with us, you'll be able to retire at 55. Folks, I'm not on the Freedom 55 plan. I'm on the Freedom 95. I might be able to retire before 95. But, you know, some people hold tightly to those things. So tightly that they become idols. And the deacon that got mad about the kids driving their car up the wall and putting skid marks on the wall, he got a little mixed up that was his wall. That wall belongs to Jesus, and if he lets the kids make skid marks on the wall, that's just fine with him, I think. And we're to be a blessing, but we have to guard our hearts. Because those blessings that go bad in our hearts can easily become idols. And we have to fight idolatry. Next one. Oh man, I've gone way too long. I'm sorry. People do not know the ways of God. The only way they're going to know is if we help them know. They go their own way. They're not praying to God. They're praying to an idol. They're asking that God to help them have children, to have obedient children, to help their children do well in school, to be their retirement plan. They're asking God to control the spirits that are plaguing them. They are doing everything but acknowledging the one true God. The next slide. But there are outposts of light. That's the little church that we're a part of. And notice that the front of the church is glass, so that everybody who walks by or drives by on that busy street can see into what we're doing. Because you know what? In Taipei, Taiwan, they don't know what goes on inside a church. I've had people tell me, I won't go into a church because you drink blood. I'm going, what? Well, don't you do this thing where you drink the blood of Jesus? Oh. No, we just remember his sacrifice on the cross and that his blood was shed to remove our sins. They're afraid of what goes on in church. And you know what, folk? There are people in Anza that are afraid of what goes on in church. There are people out there who don't know what's going on. It's not just in Taipei, Taiwan. And as we take the blessings that God has given us and share those with others, they begin to know. Next slide. Last slide. No, second last slide. So, you don't even have to speak Chinese to be a blessing to people. Chanel doesn't speak Chinese. And she's talking to Ting. And they're having a gospel conversation. Students in this community. Neighbors. So, what are our next steps? Now, let's put the next slide up. Did it even make it up there to be a blessing? Next. My thumb drive was washed this week. In my IMB shirt. So, being in the swag didn't protect it. And so I reloaded it onto my... There we go. Next steps. So, I made these up. You can make up your own next steps. But invite someone to your home for Christmas cookies. Ladies, do you make Christmas cookies?
No.
You can learn how.
Broccoli.
Broccoli, okay. Invite somebody to your home for something. Cookies.
Broccoli.
Now, you don't have Christmas Eve service, do you?
No.
You do now. Invite somebody to Christmas Eve service. New Year's Eve. You know, at Christmas and New Year's, There have been surveys done that 60% of the people who don't go to church said, if somebody would invite me at this time of the year, I would go. So, can we share the blessing? Could you invite somebody? You can invite Christ to take over your Christmas celebrations in your life. You know, I'm the kind of husband that goes out at the last minute to buy the Christmas gifts I buy. This year I went out 3 months early and got the spousal unit, the gift of her dreams. And I hid it in a closet in the apartment we're staying in. And 2 days later I come home and the gift is sitting out on the counter. She found it. You know, I lost my Christmas spirit for a little while. I got a little cranky. I got a lot cranky. You know, we need to keep Christ in the midst of our Christmas celebrations. And you know, when we do that, we're going to be a blessing to the world. I'm sorry I've taken so long. But folks, I want you. You've been an incredible blessing to us this morning. You guys are a wonderful church. Don't ever let anybody tell you differently. And if they're giving you grief about you, just tell them to get out of here. Or tell them to meet Jesus, you know, whatever it takes. You know, but you guys are a wonderful group of people. Jesus has made a difference in your life. Take that blessing and share it with others. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do that. Everybody can do that. Let me pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. Thank you for your Son who came to transform our lives, to make us different, to make us a people who actually can worship you and glorify you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll take us today and help us build new steps, new practices, so that the blessings that you give us can be shared with others. Lord, help us be creative people that help one another find those new steps. Help us be those people who take the next step, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. One last story real quick. Last summer when our Riverside Church, Orange Crest Community Church came out, we did a kids camp and a family started coming to church just before kids camp. But the wife and the son came, but the father didn't. During kids camp, he came and he started going to some things. Well, last September, came home in August and September, he said, I'm really good at making kites. Chinese kites. Could we take a Saturday and help kids make kites and then go to the park and fly them? When I saw the pictures of them doing that, I counted 12 families who had not been to church before. In the park flying kites. You know, half the time I want to tell people, go fly a kite. And that's not the blessing way. But here's a man who was involved in church for just a few months who said, I have an idea. Folks, let's be idea people. And take those blessings and share them with the community. Blessings to you. Thank you so much. Sorry I went too long.
And thank you, Jim and Becky, very much. And you guys, another way that we can thank them today is as you go, we're going to take a love offering for Jim and Becky. It'll go directly to them and to support them. In the work that they're doing, and spoil them a little bit too. We want to spoil them while they're here home with us and before they go back. So if the Lord puts it on your heart, remember to come up with some more ideas and to be thinking how we can be a blessing to those in Anza. And just like he was saying, to those that are right there at the seminary, that are from around the world. And so Lord, help us not to hold on to our blessing, and let it go rotten, and that we would bless others. So thank you very much, Jim, for that. We needed to hear that. So anyway, Jim's prayed. If you had on your heart, remember to bless them as you go. And hope you guys have a blessed time the rest of this weekend and as we're heading into the holidays. And please come to prayer tonight.
Amen.
Come and pray. We need more coming. And so please come as we pray for very important things for our nation, but for the world now, because we don't want to be nationalistic. And that's good, Jim. We appreciate that. So anyway, please come tonight. Don't forget that. We love you. And go have a blessed evening. And go in the name of the Lord. You guys are dismissed.